AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber. And what is in this mind today? Well, before we get started with anything else, I need to issue an apology to the Panthers brass, Panthers coaching staff, everybody in the organization, really. Last week, I think after that New Orleans blowout loss, I, like a lot of people, were really frustrated and angry. And I came out and called the front office and the coaching staff ignorant or arrogant because of getting rid of certain players and letting certain players stay and not knowing what they had. And I myself, as a former athlete and a coach, should know it's a lot more complicated than that. And I was upset. I simplified things. I lashed out. And, you know, I'm the first person to look in the mirror and say I messed up, you know, and I think more accountability needs to be had for everyone in this world when it comes to that. It's like, hey, what did I do wrong? How can I remedy this? And, you know, I was upset and I lashed out. And, you know, the theme of this podcast and really the theme I want in my life is positivity and taking the good and assessing the bad, learning from it, and then moving on. So anyway, my apologies. I was a little rash with that statement there, but, you know, and the Panthers did a real good job of shutting me up real quick. And I appreciate that with our come from behind win last week. So thanks for all the work you do in front of the scenes and behind the scenes, Panthers organization. We love you. Thank you. And let's move on. Anyway, if you haven't checked it out, this show is on all the major podcast networks, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, anything you want. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X. Like, subscribe, share if you're down, and we can get this thing rolling. So thanks for all your support. We really appreciate it. And let's move on to the game preview. If you didn't know, we got our second straight week at the bank at home. We got the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, and good old Jerry Jones coming into town. So hopefully we can ride him out of town with a loss, especially behind Rico Dowdle coming off that 200-yard performance, getting to face his old team. And I love how he's not shy about it. And he wasn't shy about it from the get-go. He's like, hey, man, let's go. Lay down the gauntlet. Cowboys better buckle up. And I'm ready to see it. I want to see him take it to him. Now, you know, some people might be worried about giving people bulletin board material. And yeah, that is true. But football is a game of wills, if nothing else. And that's who we want to be as a football team, is we want to be able to force our will in the running game, defensively, in the trenches, on anybody that comes into the bank. So absolutely, we're looking to do that to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys coming in this week. Now, Dallas is fresh off a road victory in New York. They took it to the Jets on the road last week to improve their record to 2-2-1. You guys know that we came back against Miami at home last week and improved our record to 2-3. So this is a very pivotal spot in the season for both teams. We got a chance to crawl back to 500, and the Cowboys have a chance to crawl over 500. Now, luckily, the Cowboys are on their second road game in 2 weeks, so hopefully that gives us an energy advantage besides the home fan energy advantage we're going to have anyway. So the big things to look out for Dallas is they've got a really good offensive line. And Javonte Williams, their running back, who came from Denver, really kind of struggled to get his career going there, but was a really great back in college at UNC, North Carolina. So we've been waiting for him to kind of break out and have a great year, and it's finally happening behind this good Dallas offensive line. Now, one thing to look out for, Tyler Booker, their great guard, has not been practicing this week, so we'll see if he's a game-time decision or if he's out. I haven't seen the latest report from Dallas yet. So that's going to be a key matchup to see if our run defense continue on the path that it is going on with DB and A'Shaun. And look at LeBrian Ray coming back last week and making some plays. So it's really going to be a fight with the big boys up in front, us on defense, them on offense, to really see how we can perhaps limit the running game and force Dallas to become one-dimensional. Now, when we force Dallas to become one-dimensional in the pass game with Dak Prescott, even though CeeDee Lamb's probably still going to be out, they'd still have George Pickens, a speedster, deep ball specialist, jump ball specialist. He's a lot like T-Mac, not quite as big, but really a big play guy down the field and with speed, and really can do it all. So we got to be on top of our game with him. And Jake Ferguson, they've got a great tight end who's off to a great start, and he's Dak's security blanket. And we should all know by now that Dak Prescott is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think what's really going to go a long way to tell who and if the Panthers can get the win at home this week is, can we pressure Dak? When we make the Cowboys one-dimensional, will our pass rush actually be able to get to him and affect his throws? Now, we want to be able to at least knock him down if we can't sack him, because that's going to be able to give our defensive backfield a chance to close on balls a lot faster and hopefully get some tips and interceptions. But that's going to be a challenge. It's the one thing on defense we really haven't shown much consistency at all with. Now, last week was much better with the pass rush. We got 3 sacks last week as opposed to the 2 sacks we'd gotten in the first 4 games. So that was a great improvement last week. Now, Dallas has a much better offensive line than Miami does, and they've got a much better quarterback, sorry, Tua, and a much more powerful running back. So it's going to be a bigger challenge for our defense, and can those pass rushers get off the line, and can they affect Dak and the passing game? Now, it's great to see Patrick Jones back. He is really the one guy I've seen so far this year that can provide a consistent pressure rate. Now, DJ Wonnum, we're still waiting on him. We're still waiting on his health. The rookies have shown flashes. Scorton made some nice plays last week, but really, for this defense to take the next step, we're going to need a better pass rush. And the reason why we need the defense to take the next step and why we're happy that it's done so well so far this year is because the offense is not quite as far ahead of the game as we thought they would be. When they jettisoned Adam Thielen and Jalen Coker went out with an injury, we were all of a sudden really depleted in the wide receiver core, and it's taken some time for us to fill out those roles and find the niche for each guy on the roster and where they can help us most. Now, it was great to see Jimmy Horn finally get on the field last week, make some big catches, the big fourth down catch at the end of the game to sustain the go-ahead touchdown drive. I mean, what else do you want from your rookie or a veteran? So it's great to see him making some plays. We could get Jalen Coker back this week. We'll see. We could get JT Sanders, tight end, back this week. We'll see. So the offense hopefully can continue what it did in the second half last week and build off and grow into our season as hopefully we can steal some games here in the beginning of the year while we're really finding our footing. And it was great to get our second win last week. Hey, we only had 5 wins last year, so we're ahead of the game. You know, as much as we want to see a better product on the field, we're hungry for a winner. We're better than we were last year already. We are. So hopefully we can continue to grow as the season goes along and get even better and really rule the second half of our schedule. But hey, we have a winnable game this week against Dallas. These teams are fairly similar in their talent level. They're not quite upper echelon. They're not bottom of the league. The quarterback play will go a long way to determine who wins this game. And we know who Dak Prescott is. We know we got to get a rush on him. Now, what does Bryce and the Panthers offense need to do? Well, they need to keep riding Rico, baby. Ride, Rico, ride. Hey, this is a perfect game. It's his get-back game against his old team. Give him the ball. Let him run through everybody. Dallas has the 32nd-ranked rush defense in the NFL, dead last. So let's take it to him. Now, off of that, we're looking for Bryce to have solid play-action game, drop back, make the right decision, hold on to the ball. If Bryce can just avoid those catastrophic mistakes, the dropping of the ball, getting chased out and fumbling, the overthrow interception, make the smart play, make the right play, make the right read, be decisive, and hit the guy on time, and just don't turn the ball over, and we're going to have a great chance to win this game. So really, that's what's going to come down to. We got to run the ball effectively. We got to have good play action off of it, and Bryce can't turn it over, and nobody can turn it over. No turnovers on offense, and hopefully a couple on defense. As a key to almost every game, if we win the turnover battle, especially by 2, we're going to win most of those games. So that's what we're looking for. And call me a homer, but I think we got it. I think we're going to take this game 30-27, and Bryce is going to pull it out of the hat again, and the defense is going to come up with a few key plays on Dak and company. And we're going to take home our second straight win and get back to 500 and really be able to see where this team can go and if it can push for playoff contention. So, all right.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That going on, let's move on to the rest of the NFL. Check out what else is going on this week because, you know, we got a lot of good games. And starting again with the Jets and Broncos, another London game, 6:30 start, my time, Pacific, obviously 9:30 Eastern. And the Broncos coming off a huge come-from-behind win in Philadelphia, have to travel to London. They're atop their division right now because of the Chargers' consecutive losses. So the Jets have really been challenged all year, just about in every way. They've got a new coaching staff, a new quarterback. It's been a real challenge. They've been sloppy, most penalties in the league, inconsistent on offense, inconsistent on defense. So really what you're looking for from the Jets is ride Justin Fields and Breece Hall and that running game and try to find some team consistency. Hold the ball on offense. Try to limit them on defense and see if you can play complementary football. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Jets get their first win, especially a game in overseas. Anything can happen. Broncos coming off a huge win. There could be a letdown plus the travel. So you never know. That being said, I'm still taking the Broncos. But Yeah, look for that one to be a close game. You know, most of these games in the NFL are close these days, which makes it a great product to watch, obviously. I care for close games. Unless it's my team, I don't mind seeing us blow somebody out. But if it's not my team, I want to see good games. So next, we got the AFC North Steelers coming off their bye week, facing the Browns without Joe Flacco now, Dylan Gabriel, the starter, Shedeur Sanders, the backup. Will this team be able to move the ball on Pittsburgh's vaunted defense that has not lived up to expectations yet? But coming off of a bye and having a genius like Mike Tomlin as a coach, I expect Pittsburgh to be ready for anything that the Browns give them, especially defensively. The Browns are challenged with the offensive line and the playmakers, but Judkins, the running back, if they can ride the running back and keep the score down, they can have a chance, because the Steelers' offense, let's be honest, is not humming on all cylinders yet either. After the bye, maybe they've figured some stuff out. We'll see that. Like, I will be looking for if Pittsburgh can come out and put up a big day offensively against Cleveland's defense, which was one of the most talented in the NFL. That'll be interesting moving forward, because if the Steelers can find an offense, they might cruise to win that division now with quarterbacks Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson out. So we'll see how that one goes. Chargers at Dolphins. Man, the Chargers have been floundering and they're injured again, especially on the offensive line, and that worries me. They've lost running backs. You know, Herbert's been, you know, as Jim Harbaugh would, you know, swoon over him as a warrior and this and that, whatever. But you don't want to hurt the guy because you don't have any offensive linemen and you don't have running backs to take the pressure off of him. He's been doing a really good job using his legs this year, but they've lost two straight games because they haven't been able to sustain enough drives on offense. They've turned the ball over and their defense has actually been giving up some points. So that they're not in a great spot. Obviously, playing Miami is a way to get right. The Dolphins have not looked good this year, but there's enough talent on offense and defense in the right spots, right? They have playmakers on offense. They have playmakers on defense. What they don't have is very good line play on either. Now, the Chargers should definitely have the advantage defensive line to Miami's offensive line, but the Chargers' offensive line is a wreck, especially at the tackle position, and that means Jalen Phillips and the Miami pass rushers might be able to get off and give the Chargers their third straight loss and see them fall back to 500, and I doubt many of us saw that after the 3-0 start, but it is definitely possible. All right, Saints-Patriots. Another, you know, we've got some really close matchups this week as far as kind of competition level. You know, the Saints and Patriots, obviously they're not upper echelon quite teams yet, but they've been playing solid enough football, and the Patriots coming off of a win in Buffalo is big time. However, that was a in-division game, and are they going to be up for a tough fight with a well-coached New Orleans team in the Superdome in New Orleans in that loud environment? And you know, I'm not counting my chickens before they're hatched on this one. The Patriots have been able to play solid football, but they've also had turnover problems. I might have to go ahead and take the Saints in this game. Man, the road is not getting any easier for the Ravens, and it looks like they're going to be without Lamar Jackson again, their two-time MVP quarterback. They're sitting at 1-4. At least they've got a home game this week, but it's against the Los Angeles Rams, which surprisingly, after five games, are only 3-2 when they've had chances really to be 5-0 pretty easily. So with all the injuries for Baltimore and not having their all-pro quarterback, it's hard to see how they're going to stop Matt Stafford and Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams and Kyren Williams and keep Jared Verse and company in that defense. The Rams defense is ferocious. They can be vulnerable in the secondary. So if there's one way that Baltimore could get loose, look for Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and that receiving core. And they're going to have to score points because their defense is not going to be able to hold LA down, especially the way they've been playing of late. Now, if they snap out of it and all of a sudden channel Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs and Ravens of yesteryear on defense, they'll have a shot. But it's hard to see with the poor play and all the injuries right now for the Ravens. So, Cardinals Colts, Kyler Murray in question for this game. And without Kyler Murray, it's hard to see the Cardinals having much of a shot on the road in Indianapolis with really one of the best teams in the NFL by play right now. They're blowing people out. They crushed the Raiders last week, and they have another home game this week against a depleted Cardinals team that might not have their starting quarterback. I look for Daniel Jones, Jonathan Taylor and company. They might have a slow start with a motivated Cardinals team, especially on defense, to try and keep this game close. But in the second half, I don't see this one being close. Jaguars Seahawks, this is an interesting one, especially the Jags coming off of their Monday night victory at home in KC. They're back at home for a second straight week. And they have the Seahawks, who have had some really close, hard-fought games against some great teams that they've just come up short in. Again, last week it happened as the Bucs kicked a walk-off field goal in Seattle to take that one. So can the Seahawks rebound from a tough emotional loss at home, travel all the way across the country, diagonally to Jacksonville, and can they take on the really confident 4-1 Jacksonville Jaguars team and come away with a victory? Now, we saw Jacksonville up close week one when Carolina lost to them. And really, outside of a Trevor Etienne 70-yard run, which was just a great play by him, their offense didn't do much. Their defense was kind of gifted by our poor execution more than their great play, in my opinion. And they've continued to kind of go down that path. And they haven't played overwhelming competition. And at this point in the season, I am going to include the Chiefs in that as an under 500 team. And a team that just looks a little talent depleted, especially on offense. You know, if Pat Mahomes doesn't bail them out every single time, and if Chris Jones doesn't run out of gas before the end of the game, then they have a lot harder time winning right now. So Jacksonville is a 4-1, and their defense is playing great. We saw Devin Lloyd with the pick six, and that was his fourth interception of the year. And Darnold is prone to interceptions, especially in zone coverage, especially in the middle of the field. So that's really the matchup I'll be looking for in this game, because I believe that Seattle is the more talented football team. I believe that they're playing better as an offense, as a defense, as an entire team than Jacksonville. But I do believe Jacksonville matches up well with them defensively versus offense. It'll depend on if Javon Walker can come back, their pass rusher, to add with Josh Hines-Allen, so they can have two guys coming off the edge at Darnold, give him less time to think and more time to throw interceptions to Lloyd. But I do believe the Seahawks will be able to get this done, even if Darnold throws a pick or two, because that offense is humming as far as scoring points, and they will break through Jacksonville's defense eventually. Titans Raiders, 2-1-4 teams taken at it in Vegas. Cam Ward and the Titans fresh off their first victory as a pro quarterback and as a team for this season. So can they keep it going against the Raiders, who got beat up again last week in Indianapolis? Well, they're back in Vegas, which isn't the greatest home field advantage, but they are well coached. They've got the better, more experienced quarterback in Geno Smith. However, a turnover-prone quarterback isn't always your best friend, and that's exactly what Geno Smith is. Ashton Jeanty is finally getting going, their rookie stud running back. However, their second-year all-pro tight end, Brock Bowers, probably the best tight end in the NFL, has been out. He's had a knee since the first game and just not has not looked himself. So we'll see if he's back, and if he is back, will he be himself? I believe if he is back and himself, the Raiders are going to take this one. Otherwise, who knows? Titans might come into Vegas and get their second win of the year. 49ers-Bucks. This will be an interesting one. I believe the Bucks are one of the best teams in the NFC, one of the best teams in the NFL, especially the way they've been winning. And they've been playing some really good competition, too. The Niners have surprised with all of their injuries to be at 4-1 as well. The game is in Tampa Bay, so it'll be the second week in a row of travel for the Niners, although San Francisco to LA isn't much travel. And it was on a Thursday night, so the Niners are coming off the mini bye to travel across the country to take on Tampa. And just saw that Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and Bucky Irving are going to be out for Tampa. So that leaves Emeka Ebuka, their stud rookie wide receiver. And I believe that we absolutely made the right decision with Tetteroa McMillan at the wide receiver position, drafting him number 8 overall over Ebuka or anybody else in the draft. I believe he will be the most dynamic wide receiver from this draft for a long time in his career. He has not started off as well as Ebuka. Ebuka is a little bit more ready to play, a little bit more of a polished product as far as a physical specimen and as a route runner. But Tetteroa is going to get there, and he's going to be a stud for a long time. We made the right choice, but Ebuka has been killing it, and I expect he will continue to. Rashad White will be in for Bucky Irving, and he is a solid running back as well. Tampa just knows how to win, obviously, and Baker Mayfield is at the height of his powers right now. I'd be hard-pressed to take the still-injured Niners team, and we'll see who else is in that game for them. They do have CMC still healthy, so we know he's an entire offense within himself, but can they continue to sustain and win games with so many key offensive players on the shelf? We'll see. Packers-Bengals. Will Joe Flacco light the spark under the Bengals that can get them going back in the win column? It's going to be tough traveling to Lambeau with your first short week in practice, in game planning with these receivers. Now, they have fantastic receivers, so I expect him to be able to find Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Mike Gesicki. The problem with the Bengals offense is they can't get a running game going, and they can't pass protect. So they can't run block and they can't pass protect, because I think Chase Brown is a really decent running back and should be doing a lot better than he is. In fact, I kind of liken him to Chuba. He kind of has that vibe to me. But once he does get an offensive line and a chance to run behind that and catch behind that, I think he's going to be a great back. But Bengals have not had an offensive line in years. They have not been able to run the ball, even with Joe Mixon. So that's going to be a problem as Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary and all of Green Bay's pass rushers are going to be able to get off, because they know that Cincinnati has to throw the ball because they can't run it. And they got 40-year-old Joe Flacco. How long is he going to last behind that offensive line? Hopefully more than one game. Hopefully more than a half. We'll see. But Green Bay, coming off their bye at home, is probably going to flex their muscles on Cincinnati in this one. But Joe Flacco will be, you know, an interesting storyline. See if he can bring the Bengals back into some sort of relevance this year. It's going to be hard, but we'll see. Lions and Chiefs. Chiefs have shown, their flaws so far this season. We know that. And except for the first game, kind of a lopsided loss in Green Bay for Detroit, Detroit has just been rolling people, crushing them. And I mean good teams on their turf. So I expect that to continue to happen. They have just got such a well-balanced offense with all the weapons, with Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, two great running backs that complement each other in the backfield, speed, power, receiving ability. Amon-Ra St. Brown, probably the best possession receiver in the NFL right now. You got speed with Jameson Williams. You got crafty zone working with tight end with TJ Hawkinson. Sam LaPorta, excuse me. It's so well balanced, and they have such a good offensive line, and Jared Goff is the point guard extraordinaire right now. I expect them to roll again in Kansas City. Bills Falcons, this one's kind of interesting to me, just because the Bills haven't hit their stride yet either. And if we look back at different seasons, you know, the Bills can kind of go up and down at different points during the regular season. They're typically still ultimately one of the best teams. But I kind of see this as a possible trap game in Atlanta coming off of a bye. However, the Bills are just so much more talented and so much more well put together and so much more well coached than Atlanta that really they should be able to roll. They get James Cook going, and Atlanta, in my opinion, has not shown that they have the pass rush either. Josh Allen's going to be able to sit back and pick him apart. He's got a ton of weapons, and I mentioned James Cook already, underrated top five NFL running back, and he is going to roll in that dome. We have a second Monday Night Football game this week, Bears and Commanders. The replay of that Hail Mary last year. If you haven't seen it, go back and check out the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary last year, Washington, Chicago, and the Bears defensive back off talking shit, and then it gets completed and they lose the game. And then their season goes. But anyway, this should be an interesting one because honestly, I don't know what to think of either of these two teams yet. I am not one that is completely as sold as everyone else seems to be on the Commanders, although they do average the most rushing yards in the NFL so far, and that I did not know, and that is not to be underestimated. To have the best running game in the NFL, you're going to be able to compete and be in a lot of these games. We saw Bill Kroski Merritt get loose last week. Jaden Daniels is back, and he's a fantastic runner. Can he protect that knee? Can he stay healthy? Hopefully. The Bears' defense has been really depleted and played really poorly, so I expect that Washington will have the advantage, especially at home in this game offensively. Now, can the Bears keep up? Can Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze and DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift and Colston Loveland, because they've got a ton of weapons. They need better offensive line play, but Washington's defense so far this year is not a top half of the league unit. They're not going to overwhelm anyone, and I kind of see this as a shootout game that could go either way. We'll see. Obviously, Jaden Daniels deserves the benefit of the doubt, definitely over Caleb Williams and a lot of quarterbacks so far in his career, but he's still young. And that sophomore slump really does happen. And I'll be paying close attention this year to Jaden Daniels and to see if he avoids that, if he can really just keep rolling on what he did last year, because that would be, I think, even more impressive than his rookie year. So that'll be a really interesting one to watch. And I'm looking forward to all these games. I hope you are too. It's another great game week in the NFL. And we got a lot of good football ahead of us. So until next time, keep pounding. Go Panthers. And stay tuned. Check out my game picks, which I'll be posting later on the socials and whatnot. So like, subscribe, share, all that good shit, and I'll catch you next time.